The waiting room was empty, the television in the corner showing an old episode of Bonanza to no one at all. In those days, they hadn't really found the handle on color TV yet, and Pa Cartwright's face was the color of a fresh avocado. We must have sounded like a herd of hippopotami just out of the watering hole, and the duty nurse came on the run. Following her was a candy striper, probably a work-study kid like me, and a little guy in a white coat. He had a stethoscope hung around his neck and a cigarette poked in the corner of his mouth. In Atlantis, even the doctors smoked. "What's the trouble with him?" the doc asked Ronnie, either because Ronnie had an in-charge look or because he was the closest at hand. "Took a header in Bennett's Run while he was on his way to Holyoke," Ronnie said. "Damn near drowned himself." He paused, then added, "He's a cripple." As if to underline this point, Billy Marchant waved one of Stokes' crutches. Apparently, no one had bothered to salvage the other one. "Put that thing down. You want to fucking bonk my brains out?" Nick Prouty asked, waspishly, ducking. "What brains?" Brad responded, and we all laughed so hard we nearly dropped Stoke. "Suck me sideways, ass breath," Nick said, but he was laughing too. The doctor was frowning. "Bring him in here and save that language for your bull sessions." Stoke began coughing again, a deep, ratcheting sound. You expected to see blood and filaments of tissue come popping out of his mouth, that cough was so heavy. We carried Stoke down the infirmary hallway in a conga line, but we couldn't get him through the door that way. "Let me," Skip said. "You'll drop him," Nate said. "No," Skip said, "I won't. Just let me get a good hold." He stepped up beside Stoke, then nodded first to me on his right, then to Ronnie on his left. "Lower him down," Ronnie said. We did. Skip grunted once as he took Stoke's weight, and I saw the veins pop out in his neck. Then we stood back, and Skip carried Stoke into the room and laid him on the exam table. The thin sheet of paper covering the leather was immediately soaked. Skip stepped back. Stoke was staring up at him, his face dead pale except for two red patches high on his cheekbones. Red as rouge, those patches were. Water ran out of his hair in rivulets. "Sorry, man," Skip said. Stoke turned his head away and closed his eyes. "Out," the doctor told Skip. He had ditched the cigarette somewhere. He looked around at us, a gaggle of perhaps a dozen boys, most still grinning, all dripping on the hall's tile floor. "Does anyone know the nature of his disability? It can make a difference in how we treat him."